Hello and welcome to Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking newspaper. This is edition number 2143, recorded on Thursday, 28th of October, 2021. You can call us at any time on 01603 765 365, that's Norwich 765 365, with your news, views and comments. We love hearing from listeners. The first part of Chatterbox is read by Ruth Murray and Matt Woodcock. We have one new listener this week. We are very pleased to welcome Mr. Anthony Froggatt to Chatterbox. We hope you will enjoy all our recordings. This edition of Chatterbox will include four sets of news stories from the evening news, letters from the paper's readers, information desk and two features. They are very different. The first is about a new book with case studies from a former Norwich asylum, while the second remembers the work of Father John Aves. Before we start the news, here is a message from Sarah Lusher.
Hello, everyone. The October issue of the Chatterbox Norfolk magazine is all ready for you. We hear about the life of a globe-trotting Norfolk photographer, two local chefs who are at the head of the table, a Salhouse-based masonry firm with a third-generation carver at work, and a new book, Ed Balls' Appetite, a memoir in recipes of family and food. All makes for interesting reading. So with all our regular features and contributors, there's lots to hear about, so do keep listening after the news.
Thank you, Sarah. However, we will start with the news, and here is Matt to introduce the first group of stories.
The first story this week highlights the challenge faced by Norwich City Council Housing Department, who have 200 unoccupied council homes but 4,000 applicants on the housing register. This is followed by news of a remembrance service being organised by veterans because they are disappointed with the city's proposals. Both these topics led to responses from evening news readers. The COVID situation in Norwich remains very worrying, with an increase of almost 50% in the number of cases in the last week. Unfortunately, people are getting confused about the booster jabs. However, some people in Norwich are very happy this week, as we will hear from two stories about the beer festival. Ruth will start with a report from the housing department.
There are fewer than 200 unoccupied council properties available in the city, but almost 4,000 applicants on the housing register. A Freedom of Information request to Norwich City Council shows that there are 3,891 home option applicants looking for council flats, homes, bungalows or maisonettes. But demand far outstrips supply. As of August the 31st this year, there were only 184 properties unoccupied. The other 14,298 in the council's property portfolio were tenanted. Not all of the 184 were actually readily available either, some in the process of undergoing works before they are ready to let. People over 18 and who have a local connection to the area are eligible to apply for the council's home options scheme. If successful, they are placed in a band according to priority: emergency, gold, silver, bronze or low need. Those considered at greatest priority are unintentionally homeless, under threat of violence or have an urgent medical need. Norwich City Council's Housing Cabinet member Gail Harris said there was no single answer to addressing the demand for housing, but that despite challenges posed by government cuts, the council was still committed to continuing its century-long history of council home building. Mrs. Harris explained, as well as our own ambitious new build and refurbishment programme, we provide funding and land to enable other organisations to deliver affordable housing and negotiate with developers to provide these kinds of homes for the private market.
Veterans plan to hold a full remembrance service at the City War Memorial, saying they are unhappy with the council's plans to lay a wreath on film and call it a day. Norwich City Council has cancelled the annual Remembrance Day parade on Sunday, November the 14th this year, and has scaled back its wreath-laying ceremony, citing public health concerns due to rising COVID cases. The council's wreath-laying ceremony will be invite-only, held early in the morning, and then broadcast via YouTube. But it has said anyone who wants to lay a wreath at the memorial in their own act of remembrance is welcome to do so afterwards. So, in its place, ex-servicemen and women led by the Royal Marines and Royal Naval Associations intend to put on their own event. Pat Bailey, chairman of the Norfolk branch of the Royal Marines Association, said people were disappointed with the council's plans, so intended to ignore them and hold a remembrance service at the War Memorial as usual. "This is our act of remembrance," he said. "It's not enough just to watch councillors lay a wreath, film it, and then call it a day." Mike Mizzen, who has acted as the City of Norwich's parade marshal for the last 20 years, said, "We will not be holding a parade, but we will be holding our own service. This will start at 10:30 a.m. at the War Memorial, and we'll get everyone formed up and marching on the pavement once we know how many people are there. At 10:45 a.m, we'll hear a prayer from a Roman Catholic priest, sing a hymn, and lay the wreaths. At 11 a.m, we'll hear the last post from the trumpeter, observe the 2 minute silence, and then I'll dismiss the crowd and send everyone home. There'll be a lot of ex-service associations there, but I have a feeling a lot of the public will be there too. People always want to pay their respects, no matter what else is going on around them." A council spokeswoman said, "All of our standalone events that typically attracted larger crowds and involve road closures have been affected by the pandemic. We'll be marking Remembrance Day in a respectful and dignified way."
People are still confused about getting COVID boosters in Norfolk and Waveney, a health group has warned. The latest figures from the Norfolk and Waveney Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, show 51%, 100,000 people of the area's eligible population have come forward for a third vaccine. But Norfolk healthcare champions Health Watch Norfolk have raised concerns that patients are confused about the process and the different types of jabs. What patients are finding slightly confusing is that it says there is a centre near you where you can book to have a jab, and sometimes these centres are completely inaccessible, especially if they don't have public transport near them and they don't drive, said Alex Stewart, Chief Executive of Health Watch Norfolk. "I have a certain amount of sympathy with the CCG because staffing these centres probably costs a fortune and they are working with limited finances. I'm not sure what the solution is, but we need to hear from people to present some form of a proposal for what might be suitable for Norfolk going forward." One of the issues that Mr. Stewart said patients find confusing is the difference between the two types of third jab, booster and third primary. Booster jabs are given to eligible people such as adults over 50, 6 months after the second vaccine. Third primary jabs are given to those who are immunosuppressed before the 6 months has elapsed. People also seem to have found the rollout of the first two doses more prescriptive, Mr. Stewart said, warning that people were finding how to get the third jabs vague. Mr. Stewart said, "We all had a part to play in encouraging people to take up the third jab to keep people safe this winter." A spokesman for the CCG warned that COVID cases were on the increase and wanted everyone eligible to come forward. "If you are not eligible for a booster, don't wait to get a jab. Book in to top up your protection as soon as possible. If you have been sent a letter by the NHS about a third primary dose and you are immunosuppressed, please visit the Norfolk County Council website. Details can be found in your letter. For a number of dedicated walk-in clinics, please remember to take your letter with you."
A popular beer festival is set to welcome a variety of different beers to cater to all taste buds this year. Now in its 43rd year, the annual Norwich Beer Festival will have a strong London influence with Portobello's Roasted Caramel Market Porter, alongside the Portobello Spicy Citrus Marmalade Star, set to make an appearance when the festival returns to the halls. Enfield Redemption beers will also be in Norwich to provide Rock the Casbeck and Urban Dusk Ruby, as will East London of Leybridge, which is set to showcase its Cowcatcher and Blonde Pale, while Hackney's Five Points are also supplying a chocolate and coffee full-bodied Railway Porter and Fruity Amber Best. For those seeking a unique flavour, organisers suggest looking out for Billericay's Chili Porter, Blue Anchor's Special Strong Ale, Brentwood's Chalkworked Orange, Cliff Key's Magellan Wheat Beer, or Green Jack's Harvest Sour. Speciality beers also include Beartown's Blueberry Fruit Beer, All Day's Coffee Stout, Humpty Dumpty's Lemon and Ginger Tangy Ale, Lincoln Green Hopped, Milestone's Raspberry Wheat, Moongazer's Smoky Dark Triskel, or Nethergate's Easy Drinking Humble Ale. Devon's Platform 5 Brewery will also be featuring its beers, which includes a highly hopped APA and a malt and caramel whistleblower. The Curiosity Bar will also be offering the unusual with chocolate amaretto from Blue Monkey, a rum porter from Bexley, a fruity chocolate dark mild from Boxcar Brewery, and a Sabro IPA from Elephant School, as well as a blueberry coffee stout from Hollowstone alongside its sorbetto grapefruit. In total, over 350 cask-conditioned real ales from Britain's independent brewers will be on sale, along with draft and bottled beers from the rest of the world. There will also be a range of traditional ciders and perries with over 70 varieties, with lots from East Anglia.
Glasses were raised triumphantly in the air as the annual highlight for any city beer lover returned after a COVID-enforced year off. It was touch and go on whether the Norwich Beer Festival would be able to return to St Andrew's Hall in 2021. But after the green light was finally given in August, 2 months of frantic planning made the comeback possible. And once the doors were finally open, there was a sense of relief for punters as they quaffed pints of porter and hoppy halves, among more than 200 real ales, beers and ciders on offer. Jennifer Smith, manager of the festival's Blackfriars Bar, said, "We're all a bit of a family. Lots of the same volunteers come back every year and it's just lovely to see some of the same faces again. It's great to be back." The festival is operating at 75% capacity to allow for safer social distancing, while its traditional bar games have also been given up to allow for more standing and seating space. Drinkers are greeted at the doors with temperature checks and questioned on their COVID status on arrival, with hand sanitising stations and PPE supplied to staff to ensure the safest possible environment. Other measures are also in place to discourage close gatherings, which has seen live music removed from the bill and announcements over public address systems to limit crowding. Miss Smith added, "It does feel a little different, and we're being very careful, but it has still been a lovely atmosphere. I think everyone is just relieved to be back at the festivals and enjoying themselves." My advice to people who are maybe worried would be to avoid the busier sessions like Friday and Saturday night, and maybe choose a lunchtime session. Regular festival goer Chris Sharp, 56, from Wyndham, said, "I tend to come here every year, so it was a bit of a shame that it was cancelled last year, so it's great to be back." Graham Palmer, 57, of Sprowston, added, "It's the first time I've been in about 15 years, but it's great to be here, and it's been really well socially distanced. I feel as safe as can be expected."